Alors, deuxième table ronde, on va parler sur...
So the second round table, we're going to talk about partnerships between businesses, corporations, and the universities. And we have two conference presenters. We have... My name is Marc-Henri Legault. I'm the president of the postgraduate section of the Federation of Universities of Quebec. I have 5 minutes to each of you to present on this subject, and we're going to talk with Monsieur Marc-Henri Legault first. So, research into partnerships between university and industry is not something new. It is something that is often put forward by different levels of government, that it's important that universities work closer with industry, and we are a little bit worried in the university community about certain aspects of this. However, what we find in these partnerships, the principal preoccupations are about loss of academic freedom, because we talk about private funding that interferes with research sometimes, and the publications can be of a private nature. The fact that there is some tardiness in terms of publishing results of research, delays of 6 months to up to 5 years, and causes of celebres in universities, and cases here in McGill as well. We're talking also about problems, the fact that universities are seeking diversity in terms of sources of funding that comes from research and partnership. And what we see is that the liaison offices and transfer offices of the universities have an excellent productivity in terms of managing intellectual property online and the research into partnership. If I give you an example, with among the 125 Canadian universities, we see that there's $51 million spent on managing intellectual property, and we only got $53 million, so $2 million extra dollars of profit, if we can call it that, that the universities accrued. Are the universities getting their fair share of these partnerships is the question. And another aspect that we see is that in these liaison and transfer office, we try to validate research and to look at research, to value research in terms of commercialization, commercial aspects, and we should be turned outwards as universities. But if they are to get involved in social economic aspects of society, it's not just for big business, but for communities as a whole. So it would be important that valuing research not only be looked at through commercialization aspects, but also what value it has for the community, for Quebec society as a whole. Thank you. Marc-Henri? Jesse, thank you for the invitation. Just to be very clear, I was invited to be part of a round table, a panel. I'm here as a colleague. I spoke to my colleague. I think we're all on the same page in terms of what we want. I don't see this really as a debate, more of a discussion, because we want the same thing. So we're really lucky to be in a country, or even more, in a province that is very rich in natural resources. It's a gift that we really maybe don't deserve, but we have, and it's wonderful. We have the possibility of taking advantage of that. We've used it a lot in the past, and it's very important to our economy, but let's not mince words. If we just sell our natural resources at the lowest price, it might be interesting for certain people. There might be some jobs and in hydroelectricity, mining, forestry, but really where there's a large potential in our society in terms of knowledge and innovation is in the transformation industry. That's where the potential lies. And that is what we, as an organization, what we are trying to support. So it's wonderful to sell trees and that we'll cut down and we'll become houses. But if we can find ways to use the extra material and to use it to build something and to sell a product at 200-300% margin, it's interesting. We're talking about an economy here, and we need a strong university infrastructure to support that kind of thing. So that's the background of what I want to discuss today. So just some numbers and some statistics at the national level as far as where we are compared to some of our colleagues in other countries in the OECD. Canada is the first and largest payer in research in countries, OECD countries in the world. So as a government, we pay a lot to fund research. So that is GERD. That is money that is paid for by the government for research. The other number we hear is HER, higher education. So monies for research for superior education. So we're fourth. We don't pay the most, but we are not last either. Not exactly in the middle, but almost in terms of ERD, which is the number that we're looking at, the third number we're looking at. It's now we're 19th. And an industry guy, let's sing this. Yes, we have a problem. We have to invest more as a business in terms of society and towards research into innovation. So how do we do that? There are a lot of ways. The best way that the government now encourages businesses to invest in research is the tax credit system at the end of the fiscal year. We look at what we've done, and as a business and everything that is research, that is higher risk, that could encourage industry in general and society, and specifically we are one of the most generous. The C question, is there a way to encourage businesses to do research and continue to do research in cooperation with universities? So that is my bridge towards university. I'm just giving you an idea of where we're at in terms of other countries, in terms of business, in terms of universities, what's happening. I spend a lot of time in university and another half of my time in corporate environment. So I studied a lot of, I studied a lot of university. I did a lot of research. I didn't make any money studying well to doing superior studies research. I wasn't paid for that. I worked hard. I did. I studied. I worked to. I worked to make some money, and I volunteered also for research. So we weren't paid very much as students of postgraduate programs, but I was very interested in seeing the research and what I was working on and what effects it would have in society. I would have been happy to take the 30 hours a week in industry, in private industry, in addition to postgraduate students and research that I was doing. I was very happy to be, I would have been very happy to pay, to be paid to apply these research tools for society. I didn't see these distinctions really. So, Mitas Oviedo Nacional, and we're, our mandate is to support innovation and encouraging partnerships with industry and university. So we have a lot of ways of doing that, but that's really what we're trying to do at the end of the day, where there's a common interest between universities, young researchers, and industry. Let's try to find this common ground and fund that part of the project. And then, and when I talk about interns and second cycle of postgraduate students, we can have people with bachelor's degree and stage of college students and to do that kind of work, but it's with interns for second cycle postgraduate, we found the common ground between business and universities. The work is done by a master's degree, doctorate, postdoctorate, and then part of the project can be used for the thesis and part for the university, and we have to have the rights to, we don't fund the project if there's no publication rights for, and the business also will use the results for commercial benefit. So each person works on something that's mutually beneficial and exclusive and interesting, but everybody gets their own objective out of it, commercialization, research, and learning on the other side. So I think both of them are not mutually exclusive. On the contrary, I think for things to work, they have to be in a symbiotic relationship. So it's not always a question of partnership, but there has to be this space for common ground. In my experience, what I've seen and what I haven't seen as many opportunities as I would have liked to find that common ground between industry and universities. First question for a lot of students, the next follow-up, the next question is very important. Monsieur Marc-André, the educational values that are communicated by the universities, are they compatible with private industry and commercial objectives of private industry? So what we see in terms of impacts of partnerships concerning the pedagogical value of university in terms of the students, we find that the students see that they are working on something practical that will integrate into industry because they have experience and it allows them for a better insertion into professional life and they develop contacts. Carol Gorse is given by professors that do research and partnership that can bring that experience and the to implant that into courses in the first graduate and postgraduate. However, what we find as a problem in terms of students is that the work that is done for this partnership with businesses, the tasks are quite repetitive and it doesn't really fit in the skill set, and that the students are often seen by themselves and they see themselves as qualified skilled workers that are working for cheap, so the working conditions are not at the same level as their skill set, for example, or the doctoral and postdoctorate level where they have many years of experience in research. There is a dichotomy between university values, especially concerning free circulation and transmission of knowledge. As I said in my presentation, there are agreements in these partnerships that make it so that the results cannot be published for a certain time. It could be between 6 months and 5 years that risks to affect the risks affecting the capacity of the student to present what he has found, to publish what he has found in his research, and when he will have his diploma, and how he can have his work as a researcher valued and considered in terms of professional aspects of wanting to work in the industry and the academic level as well. Well, I agree with what you said. Like I said, we agree on a lot of stuff, but I would go even further. You're talking about the workload. I agree, but what you're talking about also is co-op programs versus intern programs. That's the difference I'm hearing. Co-op programs are, sorry, I don't want to get into semantics, but there's co-op programs for the bachelor program where you have the opportunity to do work that will be fundamental, more basic work. And often I see advantages because you get some networking going and you get some contacts and you see how things work in industry. You make get a bit of experience, you make a better CV, but I agree that maybe you don't really work to your capacity, to your skill set as a researcher, but these programs are still important nonetheless. But there are other programs particularly that work well with superior, with post-secondary studies, and that where the interns do their research With a professional researcher. So what that means is the candidate, the master's or doctorate or postdoctoral, does most of the work, but behind them there's a supervisor that checks what's going, be careful about this, be careful of this. Have you considered this aspect? There are some important things that you're not doing. So I think they both complement each other, very well. But understand that what you're doing is that this is an opportunity to build contacts. It's not really necessarily there for the research, but it might be worth it. But it's probably better than flipping burgers on the weekend. It's a little bit closer to the career goals and the direction of the candidate. But again, there are two types. It's not all the same thing. And just because there's a partnership, it doesn't mean that it's the same impact. In terms of delays, let's be clear. 5 years, you surprised me a little bit. When there's a delay for publication, the last 5 years, it's because it's something that's very important. There's a benefit for researchers and for business. I don't want to get into detail, but I see some good things, and there's some things that are being done. We want to wait and... We want to wait 6 months before publishing. Sometimes it's the interest of the researcher and the intern as well. And as well, there's want to make sure that everybody's on the same page right at the outset of the project. Usually it's not a problem. It's one of the things that we must be sure that everybody knows what the conditions are. And in applied research programs, deliverables, it's research. You worked in research and you went further and got information from the real world, and you applied it in the research that you do. That's what the deliverables are. It's not necessarily the patent. Yes, the publication is very important as part of your thesis, and you have to make sure that you can publish, but often it's possible to standardize the information, to normalize the information, to not reveal the secret formula of the business and the industry, but talking about interesting aspects of scientific research as well. It's not all or nothing. Sometimes it's, as in real life, it's negotiation, it's to discuss, to find common ground, to make sure that expectations are met and that are well-defined from the beginning, and ideally in a partnership that is a win-win. And when everybody wins, well, maybe both of them didn't get exactly what they want, but there's a compromise that allows both of them to benefit. So, yes, I agree with most of what you said. Marc-André, do you have an answer? I just have a quick answer on the aspect of training and teaching for researchers and interns. It's important that the student be funded, but we must also not compromise the acquisition of skills and knowledge in these partnerships between researchers and interns. When the students see that they cannot apply their skills in some of this work in industry, it's something that we consider a problem for the academic career of certain students that need to do certain things and must be accompanied by a professor. So I completely agree, absolutely. What I want to add is, in my experience, what I have seen, I have not often seen cases where there's a partnership where the student doesn't get the experience that they need. I mean, it might be naive, but it's contrary. Usually there's student after student after student. Can you help me find something? Can you help me find a partner? I might have somebody interesting for you. We have to look at it. But you have to look at somebody who has the intellectual potential and somebody who fits with the intern, and this is what you're looking for in terms of industry, and this is what you're looking for in terms of the student. ABC, get a junior engineer, you'll get what you need. There's a nice platform for that. But D and E are interesting. These are points where the researcher would like to explore other things, and the student might have some experience that is different. Let's use the student to do D and E, but let's hire somebody else to do A, B, and C. So we have to have these discussions and to determine what the common ground is and to have a mutually beneficial agreement. Both parties must be flexible and must compromise. Who supervises the evolution and work of postdoctoral and postgraduate students who work in these type of partnerships between industry and universities. Well, Jesse is fine. Who supervises? Well, I really don't know. It's not my expertise, but who supervises? Probably the thesis supervisor or certain professors. The courses that they offer in my projects, I have two supervisors. I have to have two supervisors. I have to have a supervisor on the academic side, and I have a supervisor on the industrial side, and they're both supervisors, and they both share the task 50-50. So when I work on a project, I don't feel that both parties are not benefiting, so I think that this might not be a good idea. So for me, there are two supervisors that have to work together, but that's not the normal way of doing things. Macaulay? Well, yes. The supervisor of the student, the prof who follows the student in their research, and a partnership framework. It's usually the case, simply that sometimes because the dynamics are different, there's an imperative in terms of the industry or the business towards results, contrary to research that might be done in a more standard way where the prof has to decide how the research is going to be elaborated. So it makes it so that we wonder if the prof is really the supervisor of the student, or is it the business that is in partnership with them that dictates how the research project will evolve in terms of timelines and preconditions and how it's elaborated. But what I would like to add is that because I worked with universities, and this is my perspective, my private opinion, I don't want to belabor the point of how professors are important, but that's my opinion. Are there any measures to make sure that the pedagogical value of the work done by students of postgraduate education that lead a research team funded by private enterprise, and that they don't serve as underpaid researchers?
And a student in master's doesn't have the experience. I'm not trying to be like mean, but that's the truth, and the students know it. He is, or she is, ready to learn, wants relations, wants new experiences, however, doesn't have the same background as a professor. As a general rule, of course, there are exceptions, but generally it's not the same thing. So when you work for a company, most of your work is to be linked to both academia and the industry, and determining the differences in work. Sometimes it takes time to adjust, but you have to remind the entrepreneur that there's a cost sharing. So there is a leverage. The government has a certain leverage. You're hired as a student, so it is a learning process on both sides. And most of the big companies understand that. A director of research in a big company understands this. Concerning the assessment of student in order to become a researcher, this is in the hands of the professor, the concerned professor, but I don't know exactly. I can't give more information on the assessment as such. However, if we consider the assessment of students as a cheap labor, this is something that comes back. We've done research and studies. Conseil supérieur de l'éducation has done one too. So for PhD and postdocs, most of the time the work, the conditions in which they work doesn't have a link. It's not related to their research. Is it less expensive for businesses? No, it's an open question. Yeah, it is cheap if you compare it to an engineer. You know, I don't have any, I'm in psychology, I'm not in engineering, but, you know, if you compare it to somebody who has worked for the past 30 years, you know, in the field, of course, it's a much better salary. But if you consider the pay rates of people in our society who works for long hours for difficult physical jobs, you know, I don't believe that this is under an, you know, a bad pay. But if you consider that the students in a good partnership should benefit from the learning curve, or, you know, otherwise it's not a good partnership and I don't finance it, in that context, yes, the students get a very good pay. As a society, we want to make sure that those partnerships are well remunerated. Do we have enough of them? No, we don't. Concerning the PhD and postdoc, you need 3 to 10 years of experience, research experience. Yes, I do understand that there's an academic value in the partnerships, but at the same time, the student will contribute to create an intellectual property that will be used by the industrial partner. So what will the impact or the consequences of the benefits for the students who have worked on those projects? That is my question. You know, everybody wants the next Google. But the reality is not this. You know, it's not a piece of a part of the country that will finance the university. No, a majority of our projects is incremental research, and then small components are added. You are linked to the previous researchers and the future ones. So my first question, the first question that I get is that, you know, from the industry, is that reality, you know, in most projects, in 90% of the project, we have no agreement. If there is an agreement, a student who has really led a project in a country, well, usually that student gets a good pay, a good level, but most of the time, in my opinion, my goal, it's not the API, it's a learning. It's a win-win situation between two partners. The API could, you know, be an added value, but it's not the raison d'être of a program or a university. So he wants to be sure that he will not lose all his funding if the PAE is in danger. So and this has to be discussed from the very beginning, but this story about the next Google, honestly, that's not what I see. Students who do this work in partnerships, are their projects similar to the projects of the employees? Are the projects completely different? I'm talking about partnership projects and the industry projects. No, it's not the same. They could be similar, it could happen, but as a general rule, what I notice is that the projects that we get at the university were on the were kind of not a priority for the industry. So it's a good for us as researcher, as a member of a university, it's extremely interesting. The industry has doesn't have time, cannot take members of their staff and to ask them to work on a research. So, you know, most of the time they have to work on development. They cannot use their staff. This is most of the time the projects that are more interesting. If you want to interest your supervisor at the university, you have to ensure that this is a nice experience for the students, an interesting experience. Therefore, generally, it's not the standard development project that matters. But rather exploration of projects. The student doesn't do the work as an employee. So if we compare things, let's be clear. A student doesn't work 42 hours a week like an employee. He doesn't have to punch in at 8 o'clock in the morning or something of the sort. So he will spend 50% of it, his or her time in the at university and the rest of the time in the company. So, you know, I have absolutely nothing against, you know, employees as such, but of course it is much more interesting for the student. And concerning the work that is done, it's the activity itself is more interesting. Well, it's not only the API talking about the contribution. Let me mention an example. Let me give you an example. In engineering, if we use a process in a company and it allows us to save money, normally the company will have engineers that have at least a master's level. They will be paid around $100,000. So those are partnerships with the university plus students of the postgraduate level. They will make $15,000 to $25,000. So we cannot compare an engineer with a, you know, important career who has 30 years of experience and gets $100,000. You know, so that's not the same game. That's a completely different game, clearly. And if the student gets as much money, it's an exception, and it's probably a student that, you know, just went back to studying after a practical experience. This said, the pay, and I'm talking for my program, it's not bad at all when you consider that you're going to get at the same time a diploma. What are you expecting, really? The world is extremely competitive, and even the work, we're talking about $25 to $30 an hour. You know, this is while you do your master's or your PhD. And working with external partners, which represents a good opportunity. And if the silo decides that, oh, you know, I want to take this direction because this project interests me, well, they call me. And what I will say is, okay, we have a thesis here. The student has to finish it, you know. The student doesn't have the same vulnerability. Yes, he is paid less than the engineer or the technician, but obviously the student doesn't have the same background, obviously, but he or she does more interesting things and is better protected than the employee. It's not the same game. You can have exceptions. Have to make sure that the discussion is well led, is well done. But as a general rule, from what I see, it's not really a problem.
Uh,
funding by business, does it have a, does it influence research? Does it have impacts on research? We know that about 12% of the funding of research comes from partnerships with the industry. This quantity, if you consider it at the macro level, of course it doesn't have a huge impact, but this money, you know, you could ask yourself a few questions, but there's one impact that we are sure of, and it's concerning the attribution process and the criteria, and of course there's a competition between the different research team to go and get that type of grant financing, which what happens is that the professors will try to round, you know, the corners when they are dealing with other professors of other universities. So those partnerships with the industries are easier when they concern, you know, pharmaceuticals, engineering, and so on, because those sectors concentrate a lot of money, which means that other fields that are not as interesting financially, for instance, human sciences, well, this creates a disparity, obviously. Yes, we would like to talk about the different disciplines. Can we talk about the descriptions? Let me answer first. I would say yes, but, you know, we need a good structure, a good framework for the research, because not all industrial research is good. It has to be well done. You know, some universities invest more, some less, but generally, we do invest, and we want to continue doing so. We do want to invest a lot of money in research. So it's not an open door with industries. We need to make sure that we have agreements, solid agreements. If you have a right to publish, you know, it's not an option. It's a right. A business must be able to market a product, you know. But the API, I do not impose it. What does this mean? It does not mean that I am choosing a side over the other. Rather, that if there's a very interesting technology with a previous PI, well, it would be interesting for the academic to be able to work with the industry. What I also can do is find the right people, but I've already put a lot of millions of money, so I can't play. If you say that I have a risk, well, I would like to answer, no, your PAE is not at risk, but you have to finance to help with the financing. So we don't want to say one to one yes and to other no. It's not what is interesting is the project, how we will deliver it. The great majority of the projects don't have a PAI, so... and if there is, you can do a cross-licensing, of course, but as a general rule, you know, the work itself is not less interesting, and if this is the case, well, then we have a problem, call me and we'll discuss it. Just to give you a concrete example concerning those impacts, with the new policies of the federal government, we can see that at the CRSMG, there are new partnership programs. When it's the first time that we start a partnership, we get a funding of $25,000, and all the intellectual property without any condition goes to the industrial partner. And so so if you want to attract those partners, well, the question arises, what about this financing? It's public funds that go to private interests. When I asked this question, the answer was no, it develops, it allows the economy to grow and so on. So, you know, there are many questions concerning this subject. So now, if anybody has an answer, I'm sorry, a question, please go ahead. Thanks to both. Really have identified different points that are quite important and we all agree on. So that's so there will be a lot of advantages and benefits for students, for the public sector, for the academic sector. We've already checked our members, and they are interested in continuing. We hear a lot in the past few years from the universities, the government, and the companies will to develop those partnerships and have more of them, of course. But one of the questions that we still didn't discuss, how can you explain the growing popularity of this those projects? One, it's to define what is the economy of knowledge, what is the role of private companies and the funding of universities. Should it be targeted on specific projects, or should we have a sort of redistribution of those benefits and this money that is invested in universities? Should we have a sort of framework, because we don't want those monies to only benefit one or two sectors? So my question is in two words. One, why do we talk of this, of projects? We increasingly discuss those projects, and what is the role of the of financing, of funding? So very simple, times are hard, things are difficult. It's not only in the academic sector, but also in the industry. Since I'm 16 years of age, I've been working in the different companies, and one of my main mentors it's people who work in strong companies who work like dogs, and I like dogs. Anyway, the times are hard. When I realized this, you know, I noticed also that this is a dangerous environment. We have ideals, but we have to be pragmatic because times are difficult. Why am I saying this? Because companies are open, increasingly open to partnerships. This is extremely interesting for us in the academic sector, because in the last decades, we had to really not share what we were doing. We wanted to keep our engineers. We wanted to do all by ourselves. But now relations are open. We're talking about the CRIAC that brings the competitors together and helps finding technologies that can be worked in partnership. This is completely new. It is an extremely interesting phase. So this is what's happening, and I'm not even mentioning the small molecule in the pharmaceutical industry that can change anything. A lot of things. So the business plans have changed. That's the system has changed as a whole. The role of the industry, well, that's really not my field, but in my opinion, it depends on the project. If it's about a great project, based on a new technology, and you know, if students try to find partnerships to push that idea, you know, most companies would be happy to encourage such a development, which means a few thousand dollars without expectations in order to, finance whatever, a solar submarine or something. This is just an idea. So we don't want to close the door. It could be great. In other projects, you know, the companies could have wonderful technologies. You have also different types of projects where you have APE that can be shared. What will the company do? It will help pay for the students' education fees or studies. So this is great because it provides an opportunity to get experience, to build networks, to work in an empirically, really. So what you need is a remuneration, a fair one, as a first job. This is perfectly fair. And you also have other types of projects with high technology for post-doc students. There's also financing. Universities need to diversify their resources, and what we
denote in terms of their liaison office and their service points between universities and industry, it might not be ideal. And as we talked about it, it's not with intellectual property that universities will make any measure of money, except maybe in Sherbrooke. But what we can find in other universities, much more than this, is that the management of intellectual property costs a lot more than the patents bring them. So if we look at the role of industry, the role of partnerships, it's something that is important that the university be open, not just to businesses, but all of Quebec society, and make sure that these partnerships are not exclusive. It's one of the universities is much more adapted for big businesses or technology businesses, but most businesses in Quebec and in Canada are not adapted to them. So we have interest in helping innovation in businesses that are most businesses in Quebec to develop develop innovation and to make sure that businesses be more productive, and social and economic impacts as well, and not forget the impact on research and for civil society in general. We talked about how humanities and social sciences have been set aside to help, that this funding not be exclusive to pure and applied sciences, who have much more immediate benefit to businesses. So maybe to bring a bit of multidisciplinarity into research teams. We have a lot of technological projects, and these projects are producing impacts, environmental impacts, socio-ecological impacts, technological impacts. It would be interesting to have people in environment and social sciences, anthropologists, others that are concerned with these projects and that can look at them and can benefit from private funding to conduct research projects that could be interesting.
Obviously, we need to keep our independence, our autonomy. We don't want the money logic to be over the need, the research. So what we want is we need to have a real solid framework. However, for the federal councils, they are almost absent. So we are a bit late for lunch. Thanks. Thank you. I invite you to lunch. Let's have lunch.